TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. For some reason, this Christmas means so much. It's so much different to me. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Could be because I'm getting older and sentimental. All my kids are married now, and my grandchildren, and got a grand baby on the way. And I don't know. But just wanting to spend time with all of my family, you know, spiritual family, natural family, and just wanting to remember the reason for the season. Focus on our Lord and Savior. So if you're out there, I want to encourage you, and you're thinking about going shopping for gifts, that's totally awesome to be able to do that. Don't forget, you can do things. You can make things. You can, you know, write things. But also, you... don't want to raise your debt limit. We're talking about there. You don't want to. I mean, think about it. If you're going to buy me a gift and you have to go in debt for that gift, and you told me that you were going to go in debt and you were going to make payments on it for the next 5 years, that would break my heart, because I wouldn't want to put that kind of bondage on you. And our relationship shouldn't be to the point where you're going to have to finance the next 5 years of your life to go. Somebody says, well, it's not that big of a deal. The way credit cards work, you can charge a small amount of money on them, and you'll pay on it for the next 5 years. For the next 5 years, you'll pay on them, and that gift that you bought that may have cost, you know, $100 or something like that, or $200 for a PS, whatever, it could it's amazing. It's amazing what. So rethink it. You know, and if think about this, you know, having Christmas. Think about December 26th. And it's over. The songs are sung. The tree is still up, but they'll probably be put away in a few days. Everybody, all the hugs and the love and the dinners, all the remembrances and all the fellowship you have with your spiritual family, and it's all done. And you owe no man nothing but love. It's over with. I encourage you, don't get into debt this Christmas. Realize that, you know, and you can go to VFN TV and watch Restoring the Purity of Giving, or listen to Restoring the Purity of Giving, because it'll really encourage you and remind you of the simplicity. I'll never forget Little House on the Prairie when they first started years ago. And for Christmas, they got like an apple, a shiny penny, and a cup or something. And they were so grateful, because it was just the whole thing about apple cider smells and spending time together and focusing on it. Wasn't too far long ago, this is how it was. And today it's totally different, but we can change that. You know, as the church, we can say, you know what? And you may have to give a speech. You may have to talk to everybody and say, let's just, on December 26th, we want to make sure it's a day of thanksgiving and gratitude, not a day of regret that now we've got this big debt we have to pay off. And for those that get a high, your flesh gets fed by buying things, you're going to have to confront your addiction. And that's called lust. And you have to say, I can't do that. A lot of times people with that lust, spirit of lust, buying things, that will use, I needed to get you a gift as an excuse. And what it was, they got a thrill out of, just the way a person who does a drug gets a thrill out of doing that drug, that person, that you got a thrill out of purchasing that gift. It had nothing to do with the person you got it for. You were able to use your drug and use Christmas as an excuse. Listen, don't do that. You know, let's go into 2013 as we always do, focused on the one thing, Jesus Christ, and his birth. I mean, think about it. 25th is just like 6 days away from beginning a new year. Let's don't begin it in debt. Let's begin it in gratitude.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
December 25th is a holy day, deeply spiritual for many of us. And the Christmas season is an excellent time to remember the historical facts about Jesus Christ. Here's writer and speaker Sean McDowell.
Whether or not Jesus lived, there are very few, if any, legitimate scholars who will doubt that. Do you know within 150 years of the life of Jesus, we have 42 sources that mention him, 9 secular sources. Now, Tiberius Caesar, who's the most powerful man humanly speaking, or the Caesar during that time, there's 10. So there's 4 times as many for the historical Jesus as any other ancient figure. Now, if you put this in perspective, Jesus had no money. He had no political power. He didn't write any books. And we have this wealth of documentation saying the historical Jesus lived.
To learn more about Jesus Christ, stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham that's reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States. Because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I was thinking the other day about, you know, God, the vastness and the awesomeness, Pat, about God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. The Bible says that heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. I mean, think about this. We're talking about the awesomeness and the vastness and the greatness of God. You know what I'm saying? Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. When I think about how he placed each star in its place, mm-hmm. and he told the waters, only go so far. Only go so far. When I think about the multi-dimensional, the manifold parts of God. You know, he's omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. Mm-hmm. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. I mean, God, he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Amazing.
This is God. So I think about how he's completely self-sufficient. And then I come across Genesis chapter 6. You know what I'm saying? And this just kind of just hits me right between the eye, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, we're like six chapters into the Bible here. Genesis chapter 6. And I read Genesis 6:6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Mm-hmm. How narcissistic have we become that we don't even pause to think about that God could actually experience pain?
Wow.
The grieving heart of God. Think about that. The grieving heart of God who created God created the earth. He's the manager of the universe. He was grieved. Mm-hmm. He was grieved, and his heart was filled with so much pain. You know, God can feel pain.
Right.
His emotions are, I mean, he has, God has real emotions. He experiences them even deeper than we do. If we think we experience love, if we experience pain, if we experience joy or happiness, how much more does God experience all those emotions? And think about it. What could possibly cause God to be grieved and have his own heart filled with pain?
All right.
I mean, in verse 5, listen to this. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on earth had become, and that every inclination, it's like it's every like bent, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil every time.
Right.
And you think about it, man, this is like we're in the first six chapters of Genesis. You know, mankind was doing so good. I mean, chapter 4, you got Cain going crazy on Abel. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, guys, you know what I'm saying? This is not good. You know, God, loving God has a plan for us here, and we're like messing this thing up.
Yeah.
I mean, we back up a little bit further than that, and we find out that Adam and Eve, right from the giddy up, just get him blew it. And it's like, okay. This is, you know, we're like in trouble here, you know? And the fact that God is putting us in such a place in terms of relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
that he's actually allowed, you know, has made it that what we do and don't do can either cause and bring God joy, happiness, and we can actually cause God to feel loved.
Right.
Little old me, little old you, little old.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, that we could cause this great emotions to fill the Lord's heart, but at the same time, we could actually cause God's heart to grieve.
Great pain.
And exactly that, feel great pain. I mean, you think about it in Genesis 6, it says that these people, their hearts, did not even fear God. Mm-hmm. No, what happened to the fear of the Lord? What happened to the fear of God? There's no reverential awe of his holiness, of his greatness. When you think about all the characteristics, the character traits of God,
mm-hmm.
think about this. All the living creatures, they don't say, he's just. They don't scream, he's love. They don't scream, he's mercy. No, they say he's holy.
Mm-hmm.
Have we forgotten the holiness of God? Have we forgotten that the third person in the Trinity is called the Holy Spirit?
Right.
You know, not the good spirit, not the awesome spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't fear God. They didn't know of his holiness. They didn't understand. They didn't They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And it's like, man, 24/7, their mind, their thoughts were totally, totally set on evil. When you think about today, think about today, right now, mm-hmm. where can you go on this planet, on this earth? You name a country where you can go where there's not evil being done across this world.
Right.
I mean, right here in America, we see what's happening. We just talked about earlier in the first program about the abortions that have taken place, over 50 million abortions that have taken place since Roe versus Wade. We talk about how there was violence in the cities, where Detroit is the murder capital, has a higher murder rate than Colombia. We're talking about Cali, the Medellin.
Right.
It's like, come on now, catch a clue.
Yeah.
And you think about, you know, everything that's happened is like, wait a minute, guys. This evil is out there everywhere. And we got to think about, does this evil hurt God? Of course it hurts God. And today, evil hurts God just as much as it hurt him back then. And I believe even more so, because think about this. Think of all the truth that has been released on the face of this earth. And yet, mm-hmm. men's hearts have turned towards evil. And sin is evil.
Yeah.
It hurts people. It enslaves them. It puts them in bondage. You know, and God loves mankind. I mean, he created us for relationship with him. When you think about that concept, you know, those that could truly, truly hurt you are those that are them probably the most closest to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
God created us for relationship.
That's right.
And what sin does, it breaks that relationship and it causes hearts to be grieved. You know, God's just. He's created rules. He's created boundaries. He's going to stick to them. And think about it. He's given us every single thing that we need to turn from evil ways.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. He's given us mercy. The Bible says that the mercies of God are new every single morning.
That's right.
I mean, America in particular, the church has been given so much mercy. It's like, oh my goodness. I mean, how much longer is this going to exist?
All right.
You and I were talking about this the other day, but it's like, you know, God gives us mercy, but he wants us to appropriate and to use that mercy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sake of having mercy if you're not going to use it?
Right.
You know what I mean? If we're just going to take the mercy card and just chuck it right back at God and say, okay, thanks for not punishing me, not giving me a whack. I'm going to get and keep doing what right. I've been doing.
And his patience. His patience that leads us to repentance.
Absolutely. So he's given us mercy. He's given us grace.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us patience, right? Mercy is not getting what we deserve.
Right.
Grace is getting what we don't deserve. He's just hooking us up, right?
Right.
The grace card, right? The mm-hmm. favor card. He's given us forgiveness, the opportunity that we can ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. He's given us the gift of repentance, that we could actually turn from our sin and make it right. And he's given us his beautiful son. I mean, this beautiful son who's the ultimate payment for our sin. Let me tell you something. We have two choices in life. We have two things that we can do. We can do with our actions and our life things that bring the joy to God, the love of God that can just totally feel, you know, cause God to feel just amazing
mm-hmm.
and bring a smile to his face. Or we could do things that bring utter grief to him. I mean, Ephesians 4:30 tells us, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Mm.
The Word of God tells us, do not put out the Spirit's fire.
Right.
And let me tell you, we're living in a day and age where people are not even giving thought. The church is not even giving thought to the ways of God, the holiness of God. We got to turn back to a fear of the Lord. Let me tell you something. God's heart can be grieved, but woe to the man and woe to the woman who habitually lives to grieve the heart of God. Let me tell you something. God loves you. He's not done with you. He's got an amazing plan for your life, And the reason why he's hurt is because he desires to have relationship with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to guide you, to direct you, to bless you, and to do something with your life that serves generations. Let me tell you something. You can enjoy that relationship today. Maybe you're listening, you thought, man, I've so grieved God. Guess what? Confess that. There's two parts. You got to confess and say, God, you know, I was wrong. Tell me exactly what were you wrong for.
That's right.
But don't just stop there. A lot of people stop there. God, I was wrong for lying.
Mm.
I feel so bad.
Right.
God don't want you just to say that you were wrong and you feel bad. He wants you to repent. Stop doing it. Turn away from it and turn your heart back to him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, it's been, you know, I've been serving the Lord for some time now. I guess it's 1986 when I had just God called my name. You can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org, where I share my testimony. I was a deputy on the streets. But it's amazing. The more you walk with people and you walk with the Lord, and it's like some people are just like seasonal. They're like they're on fire for God, you know, and they're saying they're ready to go after God. But, you know, after 5 years or maybe 10, but normally five, you know, I know that others, you know, have said, you know, around 5 years or something, you know, we get tempted to just kind of lay back and just kind of, you know, coast if you could. And really, I believe that you're never sitting still. You're either going back or going forward. There's no sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're supposed to, so people look at you shocked when they go, you're still preaching the gospel? Yes. Why would you ever change? We're going to see the Lord. I mean, every second of life we have left, you know, we're not going to, we want to do everything we can for him because he laid down his life for us. And we'll spend eternity pondering why we wasted one moment on anything else but him, because we'll have eternity to think about these few years that we have. You know, I think about Steve Hill. Remember when Steve Hill was talking about that, and he was talking about people coming up to him as well and saying, you know, they're talking about laying back. It's not time to lay back. It's time to lean forward. Listen to Steve. I'll be right back.
They say, people come up and say, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple. Okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, you know something. It's been good.
No.
It's been good. But there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike. And I want to be a part of that.
Listen, you know, religion is hard, but like Steve is saying, it's not time to sit back and just and pause and say, I'm not going to do anything. It's time to quit being religious and do it in a way that's just natural. And let's enjoy this thing called the kingdom of God. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be family and love each other, love God, and lead other people to love God. It's not as hard as religion. You can't keep on carrying on a huge, you know, big traditional thing and physically sustain that, but you can just love people and love God and lead others the same. It's not that complicated, is it?
Right. No.
If that's you, if you wanted to continue, you know, you thought about giving up, you thought about saying, hey, I'm just rest on what I've done, or you're thinking maybe that you're beyond use in your life, you are not. As long as you have breath, as long as you love God, as long as you love others, listen, you know, you are a servant of God. You're a minister of God. Everybody is called to minister. Maybe you're called to relate to us or another network, maybe Chase Network or another network. But find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. That's VFNfamily.org. VFN, that's a V as in Victor, VFNfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Did you know, an accident never happens until it happens. It never happens till it happens. It may seem silly, but the truth is, people just don't believe accidents will happen until they happen. But once they happen, they believe accidents will happen. I mean, it's like you're driving your car, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody almost misses you. Well, that was almost an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. you know, most accidents occur within 5 miles of your home. And there's so many near misses, but accidents don't happen until they happen. And things don't take place until they take place. And sad thing with the human nature is we don't believe it's a reality in our life until it happens. This is what a lot of people say. Until it happens to me or somebody close to me, I can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that everybody else's accident wasn't real. It just means that most of those folks refuse to acknowledge that accidents happen.
Right.
And it's a come right out and say, you know, I understand. Yeah. Understand. It's like, that's 40,000 people just died. I know, but I don't know any of them. And I'm still getting, you know, it's amazing how that works.
It's a really hard way to get wisdom. Let me tell you, it's a hard way.
It is. And it does come that way if you don't have it. And understanding that there's so many things about to happen on the earth. There's so many things about to happen. And wisdom is just shouting and crying aloud in the street saying, you know, if you don't turn, if you don't listen to me, difficult times are coming, tough times are coming. But if you will turn, then I'll restore you and I'll forgive you and I'll even make my heart known to you. That's Proverbs chapter 1 I'm talking about. And it's like, nope, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen because, first of all, it's never happened to me. It's never happened to anybody I know. I didn't know any of my friends that ever had something like that. You know? And they say. And it's just kind of hard for me to relate because I've never had anybody like that. It's like, it happens. You know, go to the hospital. Go visit people. Go visit other nations and realize that these things are happening as we speak. It's like when you hear people talk about this tragedy that took place in the massacre in the school in Connecticut, they're relating to that, and we should. But when you hear about 60,000 Syrians killed, it doesn't even cross people's radar. It's like, you know, children are being killed, women are being killed, innocent men are being killed, and it's like it doesn't even, like, God doesn't love Syrians? That doesn't affect you? You know, starving children don't, the sex trafficking doesn't bother you. Mm. I mean, what I'm saying is like, oh my goodness, Lord, we're not even moved with the compassion, with the infirmities of others and what they're going through. And there's so many things about to happen that we're about to get empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to get empathy. Mm. But I just see this unfolding of a plan, a rapid decline of the America that we used to know, that God allowed us to have, at the same time why people are continuing to push the wagon that got us in this place the first time. It's like they're shouting even louder. It's sort of like when Sodom and Gomorrah was weighing in the balance, and God sent angels down to be able to kind of do a real, you know, a check and see what's happening down here. And they go and they look and they say, well, yeah, it is. It's pretty bad, you know. And then they go to see Lot, and they're like days away from being totally destroyed. And so they go into Lot's house, the angels do, and then the people in the streets are saying, listen, and they wanted these angels. They actually wanted to have sex with these angels.
Mm-hmm.
And hours away, it was just the highest escalation, you know, of that. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Little did you know that within a few moments, life as you know it, and maybe your life as you know it, may cease to exist.
Mm.
And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with God at the judgment seat of Christ. And they just didn't understand that God was about to bring judgment on a nation, on a city. And with that, and it's a lot of sins that were going on, and one of the sins was sexual sin, but there was a lot of sins going on. Pride, gluttony, all these things were taking place inside. It was just total flesh, anything the flesh wanted. And it's like, but they didn't even know that meteorites were going to rain down from heaven. It only take one meteorite. It's like one little small meter to knock out Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Everybody goes like, man, that must have been like raining for days, like brimstone. It's like, no, one meteor could have taken them totally out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just sense that, and I'm watching. And you tell yourself, you're thinking, I don't really want that to happen. And you say, man, I hope that this is not the case. But the problem is, wisdom shouts aloud in the streets. And if your ears are tuned to her and tuned to him, which is Jesus himself, that you just know that if it don't turn, if we don't wake up. Mm-hmm. And with that, you got to go listen to, go to VFN TV and watch Is America Under God's Judgment? Also listen to Josiah, America, Christianity, Islam, and Israel, and listen to the State of the Nation, and understand that it looks like our president is as like God's set man. He's like God's set man, that there's no way one man could accomplish. It's so hard to accomplish anything in that office. I mean, it's just impossible. They come with these great intentions, and you can't get things to move. But this man has a different thing on him that is allowing him to accomplish things that could never have been accomplished. And since Roosevelt,
that alone is a sign.
Yeah. The healthcare and all these kind of different things are about, that was started way back in the progressive movement. That's actually what who's that president that we just really, like, and Woodrow, President Woodrow Wilson, he wanted big government. He saw there was all these problems going on in America, and he thought the answer to him was big government. And we're not going to talk about the war that he started or got involved in because of that. But that you understand this, it's not, you don't hate anybody, actually. And you definitely don't, have a bad heart towards those that God's allowing to be in leadership. But in regards to Pilate was a politician. And the people were demanding from the politician, Jesus, to be crucified, but he was willing to let Barabbas go. And what's happening in Washington, definitely what's happening by our president, he's giving America everything it asks for. Mm-hmm. Everything America's asking for. He's giving it to America. He's bringing it in. It's almost like God said, okay, I'll give it to you till it's coming out your nose. Mm-hmm. Because he's passing, through executive order and through, the first 4 years, he's passing things that just couldn't have been passed outside of God allowing that to take place. Mm-hmm. And it's adjusting America. And of course, I believe that, his mindset is he thinks it's good what he's doing, but he doesn't know what God's accomplishing in the context of this, that when you, bow up at Israel and say we're no longer a Christian nation, it's not going to be good in the context of this. But the things that he's accomplishing is that alone, when you're getting everything you ask for and it's your flesh that's asking, you need to be really, really worried, because it's very soon it's going to be coming out your nose. And it's just crying aloud. Wisdom is just shouting and crying aloud in the streets saying, turn, turn. And this is what God says in Proverbs 1. He says, well, then disaster will come upon you and you'll call for me and I won't even answer. He says, I'll even laugh. You think, why would you laugh? The same way you would laugh if a little 5-year-old kid says, I'm going to do it myself. And then he falls on his face. You're going to laugh. You're thinking, you couldn't do it without me. And that's the kind of laughter I believe that it's going to be. But if you die in the midst of that disaster, there's no laughing matter, because you didn't have time. If you die in your sin, if you don't have more life than sin, you're going to be in trouble, because it's over for you. It's appointed once to die and then the judgment. But I want to encourage you that personally, if you make a decision yourself, despite everything else, despite the popular vote and the popular things that are going on, to live for God, no matter what happens in the natural sense, you're going to be blessed and taken care of. But God also says that he'll place a mark on you and he will protect you and keep you. Does that mean you're not going to go through nothing? No, but it means that you can trust what you're going through. God is orchestrating it in a way, and it's going to be good how it all turns out in the end. But if you're just diving in to, sin, and these things begin to happen, it's not good. I mean, God may send a man to you at your deathbed to warn you like an angel where you're going to be if you don't repent. And sometimes, you know, God, there are those deathbed conversions. And that's just the gift. God is so awesome.
Gift.
It's a gift from God. But I just want to encourage you. If you can't hear this, then you need to listen to this. You need to listen to VFN Radio talking to you right now. That it's loud. It is like, it's literally is vibrating nonstop. You know, my spirit probably for
oh, wow.
It's just building and building and building and building and building. And understand, if everything repeats as it always was, then there will be this huge celebration right before you've been weighed in the balance and fell left wanting. It won't like some devastation and then devastation. It will be, you've been weighed in the balances and all of a sudden a hand's going to appear on the wall of America and begin to write on the wall that says while they were celebrating and drinking out of the gold cups and having a party and all this kind of stuff. That's how it happens. It happens right at the peak of carnality and flesh, and like, we finally got what we want, and it's like boom.
And I think about it's so profound what you were just saying a little earlier, that in the days of Noah, I mean, 120 years, I mean, that's the thing about sin, it's so deceptive. You get so lost in it, you've been taken over by it, that they had no idea what was getting ready to happen, and they didn't know because they weren't being told. They were told for 120 years, this is going to happen. And yet they did not take heed. And you said it earlier, even too, about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, moments before they're about to annihilate, God was about to annihilate that total city with destruction. These men were just so into their sin, they were being taken down, get rid of that, wanted to have sex with angels. Now, I think about what is happening right now in America. It's like, it's just time to repent. It's time to turn. We could be at judgment's door any second, any moment. And if we don't get our hearts right, we don't get the sin out of our life, we don't get right with God, then you know, when it's over, it's over. There are no second chances when you stand before the judgment seat of God. It's it. The time to turn to God is right now. If there was a chance to interview those people that were lost in the flood, believe you me, they would probably say, I think you need to listen to Noah. I think you need to listen to the messages. I think you need to listen to the people and listen to what's being said on VFN radio about getting ready, getting your heart right. I mean, there's nothing like it. I know we're going to talk about more in the program, but that's that time of refreshing that the Lord wants to bestow on us. But there's no refreshing without repentance. And that's the thing, a problem that's been happening across the American gospel. Give me the refreshing. Give me the blessings. Give me all the good stuff of God. But I don't want to leave this life of sin. It doesn't happen that way.
In the extra hour, we're going to be talking about getting serious with sin, getting serious about sin. And it's going to be very important because God's serious about it.
Very serious.
And we've been hearing a gospel that people are preaching things and teaching things that says God's not serious about sin. And so we have to unlearn the lies and say, wait a minute, and we're going to find out what Jesus says about sin. So it's not about saying a prayer, 10 years ago. It's about praying continually and dealing with sin continually and warring with it and against it with the cross of Christ, in our lives, because Jesus said very specifically, if we don't deal with the sin, we don't get serious with sin like he's serious with sin, we won't be with him in heaven. We will not be there. Period. When he says it, we're going to read it from the Gospels today. We're going to read it from Jesus' words in the extra hour. You got to catch it, and you got to hear that, because wouldn't that be wild if you fell for the lie of the enemy, the religious lie that said God's not serious about sin, and you find out that he is serious while you're standing before his judgment seat, how serious he is? That would be terrible. That would be just terrible, And also, we're going to talk about what Jesus specifically talks about the people that taught someone that he's not serious about sin, and what happens to them. We'll be right back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All Man, I love Eddie.
I do too, man.
That's so cool. He's just ragging you guys on these Saints.
Yeah.
I'm just
ruthless,
feeling
ruthless.
I'm feeling like Romanized. You know what I'm saying?
A Romanized.
Romanized. You know?
Aroma?
No, Romonized.
Oh,
do
Romo.
Tell, do tell. Help
yeah,
us
Tony
out.
Romonized.
Oh, really? Explain.
I'm just feeling like the oh, come on. I mean, think
no,
about
no,
it.
Please tell us. Please
well,
elaborate.
You know, I'm looking at Tony right here, Tony Romo. The Dallas Cowboys is the quarterback right there. And
mm-hmm. Is he?
Yeah, he's 6'2", 230 pounds. He's from Eastern. He went to Eastern Illinois University. I mean, it's just got just a lot of good stats right here. And I think last time the Saints were in the oh, look at that. Right.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm just trying to understand.
Wow.
That, remember what happened?
Wow.
That was a long bus ride back to New Orleans. It was a long bus ride.
I don't remember. What happened?
Well, remind me to tell you about Drew Brees is getting traded to the Cowboys. But
Oh!
That ain't never going to happen.
Watch it. How much did you say? Well, I'll be there in a minute.
I'm gonna.
Is the football leather? Okay, I'll be there. But from what I understand, based on Pat's emotions, the Saints didn't win that game.
Oh, that's what happened.
They didn't win many, according to what he was talking about. But you know what? He's been there before.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes, he
survived it. Mm-hmm. And I guess he'll survive the future. But I'm being Romonized. You know what I'm saying? You just like, I'm starting to sense sitting in that, go visit those guys in the Cowboys mm-hmm. stadium.
I don't know. Can you see Pat being Romanized? Can you envision
never.
That? I mean, going,
never.
From a zero to a hero with, with Romo there?
He's got the N-O-R.
N-O-R.
Yeah. It's called the New Orleans rash. It's just something that happens. They don't know why. It's just like they're just addicted to this one football team. And the players didn't come and go, and they're all on different teams. But like, but this team, it's the Superdome, which is pretty cool, by the way. You go in Superdome, it is amazing. It just takes you over. It's just so beautiful how they designed it and sound. And it's like the field's right in your face. But the Saints are playing in it. And I think Drew Brees is pretty cool. But I'm just talking about maybe we're getting Romanized. I mean, now that Eddie's bringing it up, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Oh.
But Eddie
wouldn't have brought it up. Eddie brought it up.
He sure did, man. He sure did. Like, go get you another sport. Get your hockey. Get your hockey.
Yeah, right.
It's like give a shout out to the hockey fan,
right?
On the East Coast out there,
and Eddie have Steve and Eddie have a lot of fun there because Eddie likes hockey. And speaking about Eddie, he was talking about a barbecue. So he's ready for a barbecue competition.
Oh,
he's
a bring it.
He was talking about putting Texas Longhorns on his hood.
I can see that.
That's just gonna be really funny. I don't think they'll fit through the Lincoln Tunnel though. You drive through there. You imagine him coming in right there through Manhattan, the big horns on his car.
No
I can see him making it in. I don't know if I can see him making it out.
Yeah, I think that the mayor there is saying they've got a new law that says you can't have Texas Longhorns. It's
long
a weapon
horns.
Or something. I don't know.
Really?
No telling. I don't know. He's like the next. Moving on. So you're not being Romanized?
No. Won't happen.
Won't happen.
No,
it's just amazing.
It's thick and thin.
Well,
I'm not a fair weather fan.
Well, there's been a lot of thin going on.
You had an affair with a fan.
I'm not a fair weather fan.
Oh, for a fair weather
good
fan.
Good grief!
What are you talking about? I'm like, what happened?
Come on.
You're not a fair weather fan,
dude. I was back in the days with the bags on my head. Come on, nothing fazes me.
It doesn't. It really doesn't faze.
I mean, some people just want torture. Hey. This is not being crucified for Christ. I just want to let you know right now. This is not considered being crucified for Christ being a Saints fan.
Well, I know when Jared and I was going to see a Saints game over there that we're
money?
Pulling up to the what's that?
You paid money?
Yes, I actually did. Before I was Romanized.
Okay.
And we were going there we're just like feet away from going in there, and next thing you know, I'm driving in a truck, mind you. Mm-hmm. And our windows are down, and Jared's in the passenger side, my son. And all of a sudden, somebody's laying over Jared's lap trying to sell me some tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, wow. welcome to New Orleans.
Right, right.
He goes, they're real. They're real.
Oh, yeah.
And Jared is like sitting back so far back, he almost became one with the seat. I'm glad God didn't have a weapon or something. So we locked everything down. And we said, let's just get tunnel vision here. We'll go straight into this thing, you know, dodge the bullets and the shots and all the things that are going on. And we'll go watch them play. And it was a really, really good, good game. And it's pretty cool. It really is. Because I went to...
We went to that stadium and...
What are some boring
stadiums?
They
got
some
fans now. They've got... I'll give it to them. They've got some die-hard fans.
Those fans would be there if there was no players on the field.
Man, if we didn't say a word, we're like...
Yeah.
I said, give me a Saints shirt right now. Maybe should we get out of here.
Their fans are so wild, they look at each other and go, who that? That's where that came from, man. Anyway, getting back to True Saints.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster. That's fit to
give a king, we just came out of the One Thing Conference.
Yes.
We love the One Thing Conference and what God is doing out of Kansas City, IHOP, Kansas City. Who would ever thunk it? You know, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And it's just pretty cool to see what God is doing. We're going to be talking about that. Some things were loosed. And I think one of the everybody that spoke had some powerful moments. And normally what happens when my experience and the experience of those that I've walked with, God will speak a word to you or maybe even a sentence to you. And for you to be able to deliver that, you may have to talk for an hour,
right?
Because you have to soften the heart. You have to build biblical foundation to what's going on. You have to give a story of how it can relate not only to you, but to them. And then you merge that, and all of a sudden you just land it. Mm-hmm. And there were some landings that took place.
Oh, yes.
Some people build doctrines on the story. Some people build doctrine on the journey there. But there were some things that landed this year that was just so encouraging to me, because one was the plumb line. We'll be talking about the plumb line. And there is a plumb line in God. And you can't just build anything. Everything that's built is built off a plumb line. I don't care if it's a skyscraper. I don't care if it's Empire State Building. I don't care if it's a state capitol. I don't care if it's your house. It starts with a plumb line. The reason why is because everything has to start from that point. Now, your house may look different. Your business may look different. Your building may look different. Your capital may look different. But believe me, it started from a plumb line. So it's not saying a plumb line, everything has to look the same. But if you don't start from the plumb line in God, it doesn't matter what you're building.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what you're building. If you're not building on the foundation and the cornerstone, that would be the plumb line. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ and the right perspective of the doctrine of God, then you're just building in vain. You're just building religion. If you haven't noticed lately, there's a lot of religion. And the biggest issue of the church today is to have to apologize for all the religious activities that happen in the name of Jesus. sorry, I had no idea. They put a target on your back and threw stones at you. I had no idea in the name of Jesus that they enslaved you. I'm so sorry. I don't know where they got that from. You know, and it's like, well, they weren't walking with Jesus if they did that, because that's not of God.
That's right.
And so so all these things are taking place. So we're going to be talking about that. The plumb line was laid, and it was laid by Francis Chan. Francis Chan is the author of the book Crazy Love. He's also the author of A Man Who Just Loves God.
Yeah.
Right. And for quite some time, I was just drawn to him, and I couldn't find him because he took a move. He shifted because he was dissatisfied with what was happening. And it's like, this is not doing it. You know, it's more like he's going, well, you know, it's just like, it just wasn't, you know, you're not Christians. No, how he does this stuff, you know? And so he took the shift. And when he took that shift, my spirit was just drawn to this man, but I didn't know where he was at the moment. So I went on a hunt trying to find him. And when I found him, in the Multiply movement. And I found him in a man that was willing to do any. Matter of fact, I mean, I know that if we were spending personal time with Francis Chan, I mean, we would have some issues because we have a long ways to go.
Yeah.
We have a long ways to go. And this man can teach us so many things because he's teaching what God says. He's teaching what the truth.
Yeah.
And this is a man who spends time with God. And I encourage you, if you have not yet read Crazy Love, if you haven't hooked up to his ministry, you can go to VFNTV.com, go to the Torch, and you can find out a lot of things. We have his segments. But he spoke about a couple things when he spoke on Saturday night at the One Thing Conference. And you can basically say, because he had never heard of IHOP Kansas City before he was invited. He had never met the founder of IHOP.
Mike Bickle,
and I feel the same as Mike Bickle, that, okay, the cool, this is IHOP, but that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So don't, you know, this lives or falls or make, if it turns awry, realize that's not me. You know, this is what God's doing. Right. That's how we feel the same way too. The thing is that am I maintaining, working from a place of success, mm-hmm. which is my relationship with Jesus Christ and being an obedient, mm-hmm. loving son of God. And, but in the context of that, you find out things shift a lot. And when he came in and he dropped a truth bomb on, and it's only a truth bomb to those who did not have a plumb line already.
Right.
Because so often we can have an assumption in life that everybody's working from the plumb line. Mm-hmm. But as you start hanging with them, you're thinking like, oh, you're building all kinds of things, but you have no plumb line. Mm-hmm. Your perspective of God is unholy. Your perspective of Jesus is a license to hate him and to commit adultery on him. And your perspective of God is that he's ever changing versus, no, you're ever changing. He never changes. He's ever revealing of who he is. And you start finding out, my goodness, and we're doing people an injustice. The assumption factor in the church has been major. And we just assume, you know, that that people are moving from the same viewpoints. And the question, we went for years teaching and then asking questions.
Right.
Teaching and then asking questions. And we were amazed after teaching the Word of God, when you asked the questions, specific questions about the Word of God that was just taught verbatim.
Just taught.
That people's perspective of that Word mm-hmm. was all over the map. And the questions had to bring it home again. Mm-hmm. And we've even had ministers that would come minister amongst us. And we would say, hey, you know, do you want to hang around to see if, you know, how they respond to your questions. They're going like, nah, I don't have, I got to go. So don't you want to know if they get it? It's, you know, like,
did it land?
It's like, people's like, they don't care if they get it.
Yeah, right.
They don't care if they get it. They're just like, I just want to do it. I just want to teach. Give me a place to teach. Mm. As a matter of fact, I got some debt. So I need some places. Give me some,
gosh.
I need to transfer some wealth from a church who actually needs it to survive to my debt that I created. And I'll swing by and, you know, use their sheep to, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, so, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to talk about some of the things possibly that happened. Get a chance at One Thing, some testimonies. Also about a time that Francis talked about. You know, Paul says the time is coming when people won't put up with sound doctrine. They'll turn away from the faith. Well, we're going to talk about that time has come. And and that how we as Christians are not called to blend in. And this is something God spoke to me very specifically about. And I was so convicted when he talked to me about it, because we can start being so politically correct mm-hmm. that we're trying to make everybody feel good. And next thing you know, you end up with Reverend Feel Good. We're going to talk about him. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody goes to Reverend Feel Good. I mean, don't you feel so good? Yeah, dude, I never felt so good about all my sin and all my life. And when we're making people feel good in their sin, we're making them feel good with their false God. And this offends the God, true God, who we say we're loyal to and so much more. Now, was that a powerful? If you've missed this, every single year, presently, there is a One Thing Conference that's based, it births out of 365 days of 24-hour prayer, and it climaxes at the end of the year, 4 days dedicated to the one thing, Jesus Christ, and focusing on him and his beauty and his majesty. And then God lays on some of their hearts to say, you know, this is the one that's going to be sharing from their heart. And they just share what God burst and songs that God burst during that year. Mm-hmm. And it's been just powerful, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, you know, every year we enjoy it, and it's a great time to kind of reset our focus, you know, and really receive from the Lord. But this year absolutely has been by far the greatest year. Yeah, I had these plans and to do some, you know, other things maybe during this time, and God just clearly made it known to me, you're going to sit here and just soak and receive every bit of this.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely life-changing. And like I think you said it best, you know, all the folks that spoke had really powerful words, but in particular, I mean, Francis Tran really shared such truth that, I mean, just I'm still...
In the fear
I have
of
arrows
the Lord.
Still in me, you know. I'm still penetrating. Yeah. The word's still penetrating and just soaking in that truth.
And in the fear of the Lord, he delivered that truth.
Exactly.
And I want to make sure, you know, we're going to be coming to the end of this program, but we have another program. It's back-to-back, so you can catch us. But make sure you catch the next program because we're actually going to play some of what Francis Chan said. We're going to talk more about the One Thing Conference, and we're also going to talk about this time has come. Paul talks about to Timothy, a time is coming when men will actually not tolerate sound doctrine. Well, that time has come already, and so much more. So make sure that you catch us. Don't forget, four programs back to back. I want to say hello to our Christian Television Network audience. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for partnering with us. Don't forget, there's a free offer available for you at vfntv.com, and we have more to come. We're going to have CD offers and DVD offers coming for you as well that you can get from our store, because I know a lot of you guys like to have it on CD. You like to have it on DVD, and that is in the works as we speak.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at vfntv.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.